And I sure hope you do. Take that Bible and turn it to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, as we are already. You know the custom around here. We're standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 14. I've been going on my vacation for a while and just getting back. Remember, we're preaching through the last five chapters of Romans, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. They're the real practical. And if some of you wanted some of the last few sermons that I preached through on these chapters through the book of Romans, our recorder tore up. So a few of them did not get put on the sermon audio to listen to. But now we've got that fixed. And so the rest of them hopefully will be recorded. And if you know anybody, if somebody misses a service or wants to get a hold of these messages, they'll be able to do that. But let's get right into it now. We're at Romans chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse number 13 this morning. Romans chapter 14, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge just rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Brother John Bogan, glad to see you again, brother. Glad to be here. Would you pray God bless this message today? Yes, Lord. Yes. Help me, Lord. Yes, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is simply this: Don't be a stumbling block. God doesn't want us to be a stumbling block. I want you to notice that Paul commands that the Romans not to put a stumbling block or any occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, I want to tell you what Webster says the definition of a stumbling block is. Webster says it's an impediment to belief or understanding, an obstacle to progress. That means anything that you do to someone else that impedes their understanding of God, that impedes their belief, our future belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, anything you do to someone else that becomes an obstacle in their way and put in their way to trip them up, the Bible says, the dictionary says that's a stumbling block, and I'm going to show you how the Bible relates that here in a moment. Now, I want you to notice that the law of first mention, we know about that, you get a context of what something means by the first time it shows up in the Bible. This word stumbling block shows up first in Leviticus 19:14. And this is what it says. It says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord." The Bible says, there he said, back in the Levitical law in the Old Testament, don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody that's blind. They can't see it. It'll trip them up. They'll fall on it. It'll hurt them. It'll stop their progress. It'll stop them going forward. It'll trip them up. Now, here's the idea of this message this morning when I'm asking you not to be a stumbling block. Anything that we do as a Christian to trip up, to stop the spiritual progress, or impede the spiritual growth or understanding of another Christian or lost sinner is putting a stumbling block in their path. The way that we, listen church, the way that we live our lives and interact with others ought to help them spiritually, not hurt them. I said that the way that we live our lives and interact with others as Christians ought to help them spiritually, not hurt them, not hinder them. But I'm afraid the sad truth is, brother, that the average Christian is doing more to hinder the cause of Christ than he ever does to help it. Excuse me. I'm afraid that today the biggest hindrance to bringing people to Christianity is Christians. The way we live our lives, our hypocritical testimonies, and the way the lost people see us. God help us not to hinder. God help us not to hinder someone else's spiritual growth because of our selfishness and our sinfulness. Not to hinder somebody else's spiritual growth because of our wickedness and our sinfulness and our selfishness. That's being a stumbling block for someone else. I want to say a few things about this morning, this thing about being a stumbling block, and that'll be the message. First thing I want to say is very simple. Number one, stop being a stumbling block. Stop it. How many of you had trouble understanding that? That wasn't no big, long Hebrew word or Greek word or big theological term. Nobody has any trouble understanding that. Just stop it. Quit being a hypocrite. Quit turning people away from God instead of toward God. Quit being consumed with yourself and think about God and others. Just stop being it. That's what he said in verse number 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You just stop it. It's a sin against God and it's a sin against others. You may not think it's a big deal, but God and the people offended by your wickedness do. I said, you may not think it's such a big deal, but when you offend God and those people that we offend, it is a big deal. And I know what people say, well, I just don't care. You know, it's my life. I don't really care what nobody thinks about me. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. And in this society today, we are trained and taught that it's all about me. You don't know how many times I have counseled people that were married, about to bust up, and this phrase come out, preacher, I just want to be happy. I'm just not happy and I want to be happy. So you think you can break your vow with God and break your vow with your spouse because you're not happy. It's not about your happiness. It's about doing what's right. Do you think that when you, let me tell you something, you young fellas that's going to grow up and get a family one day, you're not going to be happy to get up and go to work and work hard every day. But you can't lay your sorry behind in the bed. You're going to have a wife and youngest to take care of, and it don't matter if your head is hurting or your back's hurting or you didn't sleep good the night before. You've got to get up and go to work. And you'd better be teaching these young boys that. I tell you what, I wouldn't, the half of this crowd right here, I wouldn't let my, if I had a daughter, thank God I've just got a son. I don't have to kill nobody. I wouldn't let my daughter marry some sorry bunch out here. They ain't never hit a lick at work. They'll run off at the first sign of trouble. It ain't always easy to do right. But stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about my wants and my desires. Think about him and everybody else. Just stop it. You need to stop it. Some of you, you go to work and you're turning people you work with away from Christ. Some of you, you're saved and you know better, and the way you live inside your home, you're being a stumbling block to your wife. You're being a stumbling block to your children. Some of you coming here in this church, I know there's some good godly people in this church and there's some folks in this church. I don't know why you come. Listen, I don't get in your business, but somehow I seem to find out what some of you's doing. And I don't care what you're doing. I got enough business of my own to take care of. But you come in here and say amen and look all holy and dress up and put your old dress clothes on all you want to here on Sunday, and you're going out on Monday through Friday and Saturday night raising hell and drinking and getting drunk and doing all that. You're a terrible testimony to this church. You're a terrible testimony for the cause of Christ. You're a terrible testimony for this community. You are a stumbling block. How many of you is glad I'm back now? You glad I'm back preaching? Brother, I'm just started preaching. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no excuse for God's people to live like that. You're helping send people to hell because they look at you. Yes, I'm talking to you back there and you up here and you in the middle. They're looking at you and saying, if that's Christianity, I don't want nothing of it. I live better than that sapsucker does. He goes to church every Sunday. He's running around on his wife. He's stealing from work. He's getting drunk on the weekend. He'll out cuss the sailor. I don't do all that. Why do I need Jesus? Amen, brother. I'm telling the truth. Just stop it. Just stop it. Actually think about somebody else besides yourself. I'm going to go on to this, but I just feel like I need to hit this a little bit. Well, we got this thing in our world today of, you know, it's my life. You know, somebody's been listening too much Bon Jovi. It's my life. No, it ain't. It ain't your life. God gave that to you. You got to do what He says. This is the most selfish, self-centered society I've ever seen. And that's why it's so full of wickedness, because folks say, you know what, this is what I want. And I'm not trying to, you know, for some of you folks will say, oh, the preacher's up there. I ain't cussing, but I'm telling you, after 20 years of pastoring, what I've dealt with. You want to hear it? Cover up your children's ears if you want to. I'm telling you, you covering up your own son? I'm telling you what the average person is saying today. He's saying, to hell with everybody else, long as I get mine. And if you don't believe that, you ain't spend no time dealing with people. That's what they're saying. And some of you look at me, I can't believe that preacher said it. Oh, shut up, you hypocrites. You watch worse than that on HBO every night. I'm back. Number two, let's go on. We beat that point enough. Liberty doesn't mean license. Listen, you read there in verse number 14, Paul knew the truth about the liberty he had in Christ and what was important and what wasn't. He said, I know and am persuaded that the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself. He knew about liberty. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, hold your place there and we're going to come back. Just hold your place, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to tell you what's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This chapter, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about meats that are offered to idols. This church was given over to idolatry, and they get saved out of this. And so some of them are confused. They have questions about, hey, this meat was offered to idols. Can I eat this meat or not? Now, Paul's going on in there, and he said, look, I know there ain't no such thing as an idol. There's only one God. Listen, if you've got that meat that was offered an idol, it don't mean nothing to me because I know there's only one God. I can sit down and eat it up. But some folks say, no, that offends me. I can't do that because my conscience violates me. That was offered to an idol. And he's addressing it. And these folks in the church, they have questions about what should I do. And the bottom line is that Paul's going to let them know, don't let your liberty that you have about the truth be a stumbling block for somebody else. Notice what he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8. He says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. He said, it don't matter if you eat or you don't drink. It don't eat. But here it is, verse 9. But take heed lest by any means, listen, this liberty of yours becomes, here's that word, a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, we're not all on the same level of Christianity. And I think it's terrible. Look, everybody look at me. Look at me. I think it's terrible for some of you Christians that's been saved 15 to 20 to 25 years to become a stumbling block to these new baby Christians. They're supposed to be looking at you to see how it's done, not to get offended, not to be turned away from church. They need somebody like you in their lives to help them. For verse number 10, for if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. When you're offending these people, that's God takes that personal. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now listen, we are not to use our liberty if it hurts another Christian. Folks say, I have liberty, I have liberty. Do you know where my liberty I have stops? My liberty that I have stops right in front of your face. That's right. You know, let me give you some example. I've been, you know, we've got here lately, got around some of these non-porkers that they're going around teaching folks that you can't eat pork because we're still under the dietary laws of the Old Testament and all that bunch of hogwash, excuse the pun. That's not what the Bible teaches. They're messed up on that. Listen, you probably don't need to eat pork every meal. Probably ain't good for you, but the Bible don't teach you can't eat it. But you know what I ought to do as a good Christian? If I have one of those, and they are the weaker brethren. They are the weaker brethren. They don't have knowledge of the truth about that, okay? But if I invite them over, I don't not purposely say, hey, come over to my house. We're going to have fellowship, and I'm barbecuing a pig out there. That's not right. You know what? You say, well, I've got it right. I know the truth about it. I can eat as much hog as the next person. See, that's your crummy attitude. That's what Paul said. Paul said, as long as it offends, I'll eat no meat. He said, I'm not going to do something to offend somebody else, even though I might have the truth about it, and they don't. I'm not going to offend them. And what he's saying is, I'd rather help this Christian, rather be able to minister this fellow, rather be able to win a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all I have to do is not eat my pork. And for some of you that it would say, I'd rather have my pork than be a good testimony, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the whole problem about this. It's all about me, 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 my, what I want. You have plenty of opportunities to eat pork with Brother Dennis. If you want to eat pork, invite me over. I ain't got no problem with it. I eat everything on the pig but the squeal. I like pork chops. I like bacon. I like sausage. I like ham, I like all of it. But you don't have to do it around the non-porkers. Because you need to be good to them. Now here's another thing. Suppose I got a friend at work and I'm trying to deal with them. I'm trying to just giving you some examples of what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to win them to the Lord. And I know this fellow's not saved, and I know he's a Catholic, and I'm trying to win him to the Lord. What I'm not going to do is say, hey, Friday, let's go to the restaurant and eat. So I invite them out on Friday, and we go to the restaurant, and I start ordering a hamburger and hot dogs and all that. Now, why wouldn't I do that? Any of you know? What do Catholics do on Friday? They eat fish. They say they don't eat no meat. I don't reckon they think fish is meat. They eat fish, but they don't eat no other meat. Now, you say, well, Brother Dennis, that's a bunch of baloney. It is. It is. But why would I be so selfish, so self-centered, so stupid to sit down there when I'm trying to win that fellow to Jesus Christ and just openly and just obstinately just eat a steak or hamburger in front of them? That's becoming all things to all men that you can win some. And what Christians want to do is just walk around here and say, well, I know the truth. I'll just live how I want to. I'll just, no. How about denying yourself sometimes so somebody else can get some help? That's what we ought to do. It wouldn't bother me a bit. Hey, I could just say, hey, praise God, man. Put me some flounder on the plate. Let's talk about Jesus. I want my hamburger. I want my steak. I've been thinking about this steak for, I'll tell you what. You're the one I'm preaching to this morning. I know what some of you think. I wish your brother so-and-so was here. He needs to hear this. No, I'm preaching to you. You need to hear it. There are some things, listen to me. There are some things that I don't wear. There are some things I don't do. There are some places I don't go that I don't think in and of themselves is sin at all. But I believe in some cases it would wound or it would offend other Christians, and therefore I don't do it. Listen, I know the truth about what this Bible says about Sunday. Some of you don't. And that's why I have a limited activity on Sunday. That Bible says that Sunday, that you're not to judge one another about days. We're not to give respect to that. That one day in the New Testament, one day is like another. And if a fellow wanted, long as he didn't miss church, now he's not supposed to forsake the assembling of himself together. But if a fellow wants to go hunting, or if a fellow wants to go fishing on Sunday, or if a fellow wants to get out there and wash his car, according to the Bible, there's nothing wrong with it. Now, see, some of you, your radars done went off. Boop, boop, boop. I've never heard. I know, and that's why I don't do none of that stuff, because of you. Now, you're not right about it. And you're trying to tell me about what you can and can't do on Sunday, and you never even read through your Bible. I know what you can and can't do on Sunday. I've read it several times. I can show it to you. But I know how some of you are. Some of you that if Brother Dennis came here and preached on Sunday, and I left here, and me and Brother Russell went out, and you saw us on Gant Lake out there fishing Sunday afternoon, it offends some of you. It would. It offends some of you. Ah, a preacher ain't supposed to be out there fishing. I can't believe he's out there fishing on Sunday. And that's why I don't do it. That's why I don't go hunting on Sunday. I don't go hunting on Sunday. I don't go fishing on Sunday. There's things. Listen, it wouldn't be wrong for me to wash my car in between services. But you're not going to see me washing my car on Sunday. I know a preacher one time that was washing his car on Sunday, and somebody went by and it offended them. And you say, listen. If me doing something offends one person or drives them away from the Lord, it's worth me not doing it. Regardless if I've got the truth on it or not. Regardless. That don't matter. I'm trying to get you to think about somebody else. Now, you may not have any problem. You can make and do all that and nobody ever say a word to you about it. But I'm a preacher and I can't. There are some things that I'm just not going to wear, some places I'm not going to go, and it ain't because I think it's a sin, and I don't look at somebody else and think they're sinning for doing it. I just know for me that if I deal with some people, I would offend them. And I don't want to offend nobody, because it's not about me. You may have knowledge that other Christians don't. Listen, things in and of themselves may not be sinful, but the way you use them are. There ain't nothing simple about a TV. You can put a TV in your house and never turn it on. But what do you do with that TV? Internet? Facebook? I can't even believe I'm saying this, but Facebook can be used for the good. Not much, but it can. Boy, I struck a nerve then. Listen, before you jump on me and you judge me, if you've had to deal with the people calling me crying and upset and so-and-so said this and my ex-wife on there said this and they said this and the things that's been said about me that ain't even true, before you jump on me about saying something about Facebook, you need to come talk with me a little bit. I know what's going on. I know you say, well, I just get on there and put Bible scriptures. Yeah, you're the minority. You're the exception to the rule. Most people use Facebook to check up and gossip and put down one another and argue and fuss. I know you don't want to admit it, but it's too bad. Oh, I know why you don't want to admit it, because you're one of them on there doing it. I thought you folks wanted me to come back. I thought you were all happy and excited about the preacher being back. All right, one more point. I'll let you go. Our conduct as a Christian must always, listen to me, church, must always consider others. You read that, I'm not going to go back and read that again in verses 14 through 16 and verse 21 and all those verses in there we just read. Here's the thing, always, before you do or say or do anything, ask yourself two questions. Here it is, church, listen, ask yourself two questions. Would what I'm about to do or say, would it cause another Christian to stumble? And number two, would it cause an unsaved man to reject Christ? Anything I do, would it cause somebody else to stumble? Would it offend them? Or would it cause an unsaved man to reject Jesus Christ? And you see that real good in verse number 21. Here's the three things you don't want it to do. Verse 21. He said, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother, here it goes, number one, stumbleth, number two, or is offended, or number three, or is made weak. Anything you and I do that will cause our brother to stumble, that would offend him or make him weak, we are not to do it, at least around him. We ought to deny ourselves so not to deny somebody else. Now, this is hard for modern Christianity in our society. Very hard. Everyone thinks it's about what they want, about their happiness. I'm going to tell you something right now, and you listen to me. Your ungodly living is not just hurting you. It's hurting everybody else around them. And I want you to think about something, church. I'm getting ready to wind this up. Just everybody look up here. How horrible would it be? How horrible would it be if you really knew that someone died rejecting Jesus Christ, died without Jesus Christ, and went into hell forever because of watching you, a hypocritical Christian? They died without Christ because of you. You and how you acted and what you did. Just get right with God. Stop thinking about yourself and live to please God and live to minister to others. God help us not to cause someone else to stumble. I think about all these preachers. Do you know what I pray all the time? I pray all the time, God, please, please, please. I don't care if I ever am well known. I don't care if nobody knows me outside of Loango. I don't care if I never have a great big church or a great big ministry. For God's sake, God, please, I don't want to fall. Do you know how many preacher friends of mine have fallen? Run off with a woman? Get out of the ministry? Get back on drugs? A preacher stealing from the church? It happens all the time. Do you realize how many people I would hurt if I did that? How many people you would hurt if you did it? There's more at stake here than just my selfish wants. I have to consider my wife. I have to consider my son. I have to consider my family, my friends, this church, this community. And the sad thing is, I'm preaching to some folks that you never consider that. You've bought into this modern-day humanistic lie. It's all about me and what I want. And it's not. And it's a serious thing if you're living in such a way that you're encouraging people not to trust Christ, helping people go to hell, and running baby Christians and weak Christians off because of the way you live. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't cause them to fall. Cause them to excel for Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and eye closed. Going to have a